I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
I can hear it all day. Gets me going. Hope it gets you going as well. Welcome to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, August 1st. How are we doing? Gosh, summer is flying by. Hope your golf game is improving and you're having fun out there. Remember, that's the key. Have fun. Don't beat yourself up on the golf course if you miss a short putt or your iron game is off. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by iBeCool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive ice fill cooling technology along with SPF 50 plus sun protection. Visit ibkul.com to learn more. Whew, this has been quite a week. It's member guest prime time in the New York metropolitan area. Had a great day at Southampton Golf Club last Tuesday. Great Seth Rayner gem. It really doesn't get as much attention because of Shinnecock and National and Saponic, all in Southampton as well, but it is really, really special. And then yesterday I played in the member guest at Long Island National. And ironically, I played with three women named Carol. And I'm happy to say we won low gross honors. So well done, ladies. And a shout out to Carol Clough, who played lights out. It was great to see. I mean, she was draining putts from all over the place. Just so exciting. And Long Island National is in great shape. Very, very difficult golf course. And then tomorrow is the Shinnecock member guest, so I'm looking forward to that. Tis the season. And again, aren't we golfers fortunate to have so many amazing golf courses in the New York metropolitan area? Just unbelievable how many great golf courses there are. And what a joy to visit the U.S. Senior Women's Open going on at historic Brooklawn Country Club in Fairfield, Connecticut. And, you know, visit with the players and reconnect with these golf legends from their playing days on the LPGA. Annika Sorenstam, we'll talk a lot about her this morning. Julie Ingster, Michelle McGann, Laura Davies, Jan Stevenson. There's so many. Jan, she was on the show last week. Joanne Carner, so many of these women were such shining lights in golf for so long on tour. And, you know, it's great that they have some playing opportunities, more championships now. The U.S. Senior Women's Open is for women 50 years and over. And they're playing at such an incredible venue. The course has hosted four previous USGA championships, including the 1987 U.S. Senior Open won by Gary Player. And the club joined the USGA back in 1896. I love the history of golf. It's just so fascinating to me. A.W. Tillinghast redesigned the course back in the 30s into its present form. And as I mentioned last week, Gene Sarazen, one of the five players to have won all four professional men's major championships, he worked as an assistant golf pro up at Brooklawn in his teenage years. And a woman named Georgiana Bishop, who won the 1904 U.S. Women's Amateur at Marion, was a member at Brooklawn. I mean, just the history of a lot of these clubs in our area just goes on and on and on. I just love it. And none other than Annika Sorenstam is the woman to beat. She was tied for the lead after the first round, and she has been the sole leader in rounds 2 and 3. She shot an even par 72 yesterday at 8 under for the championship. Annika leads Liselotte Newman, a fellow Swede, by 2 shots. Newman shot a 1 under 71 yesterday. You remember Newman. She won the U.S. Open back in 1988. And Katrina Matthew of Scotland, she's the European captain of the Solheim Cup team this year. She is in third place with a 4 under. Laura Davies, you remember Laura. She just bombs the ball off the tee. She's tied with Yuko Salto of Japan at 2 under, so she is 6 shots back. So the final pairing this afternoon of Annika Sorenstam and Liselotte Newman, they begin at 12:45, and you can watch it on the Golf Channel from 2 to 5. And I have to say, Joanne Carner, at the age of 82, was playing. And on Thursday, she shot her age, a plus 1082, to become the first player in her 80s to shoot her age. And then she shot a plus 7 in the second round. So she did not make the cut, but the cut was 8 over, I'm pretty sure. But just incredible. Big Mama, as she was known. Joanne Carner won 43 LPGA titles, 8 USGA championships, and the fact that she played and, you know, shot her age and better at the age of 82. Unbelievable. Really, just so many great stories up there. And Ron Syrak will be up there this morning, and he'll join us later in the show. More on Ron in a second. But the men's Olympic golf competition is in the books. And Xander Schauffele, as you heard, with a clutch birdie on the 17th and an up and down for par from 98 yards in the final hole. He shot a final round 67. Xander earned the gold medal. So, yay for Xander and the USA. He finished with an 18 under overall. He beat Rory Sabatini by 1 shot. Sabatini shot a 10 under 61. Unbelievable. And was done hours before the leaders finished. Sabatini, who is South African, was representing Slovakia. His wife is from Slovakia, and his wife actually caddied for him. So Sabatini wins the silver, and then C.T. Pan of Chinese Taipei won the bronze. And he had to win a 7-man, 4-hole playoff to win the bronze medal. So, the last day was unbelievable with the Olympic golf. And Schauffele, he actually played with Hideki Matsuyama, started the day with a 1-shot lead. Ironically, the two played together in the final pairing on Masters Sunday, as you recall, with Hideki winning the Masters. In Tokyo, Schauffele was 3-under through the first 5 holes. He was ahead by as many as 4 shots, but he made it interesting because on the par 5 14th, he lost his tee shot in the woods. Then his provisional tee shot was almost lost. He took an unplayable lie. He got up and down for a miracle bogey there. He bogeyed the 15th, and he missed birdie opportunities down the stretch. But he birdied the 17th. On the 18th, his tee shot went way right. He had a punch out to the fairway. He managed to get up and down to save par there. He had to scramble, but he was able to hang on to win for the first time since January 2019, and it's a heartwarming story. He said he really wanted to win for his dad, who is his longtime coach. His dad was an Olympic hopeful for Germany in the decathlon, but his career in the decathlon got derailed when he was hit by a drunk driver and he lost vision in one of his eyes. So a happy ending for Xander Schauffele, and he did win it for his dad, which is just incredible. And Colin Morikawa, Rory McIlroy, Paul Casey, Hideki Matsuyama, they were among the 7 guys in the playoff for the bronze medal that C.T. Pan won. Justin Thomas finished tied for 22. So what a final round for the men in the golf category at the Olympics. And, you know, the big news of the week, of course, and I have to give you my 2 cents worth here, you know, about Simone Biles withdrawing from, you know, this gymnastics all-around competition and the individual competition. You know, what does this have to do with golf? Well, a lot, because, Biles withdrew because her head was not in the right space. And I commend her for having the courage, particularly under the intense microscope and scrutiny of the Olympic Games and billions watching on TV. You know, I commend her for making such a difficult decision based on not wanting to injure herself and not wanting to bring her teammates down. As she said, mentally, when you don't have it, you don't have it. Now, golfers know what it's like. You know, you have the yips, or your body doesn't execute what your mind is telling you to do. That happens all the time in golf. But golf is not a dangerous sport. In gymnastics, one misstep, one instant when your mind goes blank, and you can seriously hurt yourself. In golf, if you don't feel mentally prepared or able, you keep playing and you just kind of hope that you get it back on the next shot or the next day. I mean, sometimes you just don't get it back for a long time in golf. I mean, you know, it's such a mental sport. But in gymnastics, and I used to be a gymnast when I was a kid, but certainly at that level, the Olympic level, if you are not 100% mentally prepared or able, there's just too much risk of injury and danger with the extremely difficult moves and many of these moves that she invented, Simone Biles. So, you know, she had enough strength to recognize her issues and then act upon it by withdrawing. And it's certainly a tremendous disappointment for everybody. I mean, we wanted to see her do her thing. But you have to just think about the enormous amount of strength it took her to bow out. It's a shame, but after all of her hard work and training, you know, she's 24 years old, and that's considered old in gymnastics. If you're not 100% in that sport, forget it. So we're going to talk to Brian Crowell in a few minutes about this and a lot of other things, but he is the PGA general manager of Trump Golf Links at Ferry Point. He's been a golf instructor for a long time. He knows how connected, you know, the mental portion of golf is with the actual physical part of the game. Brian is also a broadcaster for CBS and Sirius XM. He and his partner, Frank Darby, have a show on Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio on Thursday nights. And Brian is also the current president of our Met Golf Writers Association board. So looking forward to catching up with longtime colleague and friend Brian Crowell. And Ron Syrak is covering the U.S. Senior Women's Open Championship, and we'll catch up with Ron in the second part of the show. So lots to talk about with these two colleagues and friends of mine, two overachievers for sure. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but first let me tell you that Ivy Cool is a luxury athleisure wear for both men and women, offering the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. Ivy Cool offers multifunctional, intelligent, the exclusive moisture sensor fabric featuring IceFill technology that cools your body so you can stay comfortable and odor-free on hot and humid days. Ivy Cool apparel also features UPF 50 plus sun protection, colorful, stylish, ultra-soft fabric with the latest technology to protect your skin. Look and feel your best. Learn more at ibcool.com. That's ibcool.com.
It's Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Whoa, welcome back to Talking Golf. Glad you can join me this morning on this Sunday, August 1st. And my guest, the multi-talented Brian Crowell, our fearless leader with the Met Golf Writers Association, the general manager at Trump Ferry Point, broadcaster extraordinaire. Good morning, Brian. Welcome to Talking Golf.
Good morning, Ann. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's always great to connect with you. You're all over the place, and I know you as a golf instructor for many years, as a director of golf, now general manager. That about covers it all, Brian.
You know what? It's just one of those things, Ann. I was in the right place at the right time, and there was a transfer of my good friend Joe Roediger down to Trump, D.C., and I raised my hand and got the opportunity to be the general manager here at Trump Golf Links at Ferry Point, and it's a fantastic place, and I'm excited to have the opportunity.
I remember being there for the opening, which was incredible. What they've done at that golf course, right? What they turned it into.
Oh, land, man.
It was not great land.
No, and it is truly a masterpiece. I mean, you've seen it, Ann, and now we are ranked number 6 in the country for top municipal clubs, and Jack Nicklaus just created a beautiful place here. It's hard to believe you're in the middle of the Bronx, and when you're out there, it feels like Scotland. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it really is. It's just amazing to have, you know, the access to a golf course like that so close to Manhattan. But, there's so much to talk about. Let's start with the Olympics. Boy, I'm so happy for Xander Schauffele winning the gold, but he did not make it easy on himself, did he?
No. Well, I mean, who would have expected Rory shooting a 61 there? And not even the Rory the world expected. Sabatini coming out of nowhere to shoot that amazing final round and grab the silver medal. But, yeah, Xander with a 67 had to just barely sneak in there one stroke ahead of Sabatini for the gold medal. But I'm just so proud of what this young man has done. Of course, he hasn't won a major championship yet, but he's won the gold medal for the U.S. of A. And just a powerful moment for him because of all the storylines heading into this. His father, a decathlete wanting to be an Olympian, and his parents living in Tokyo, and it just so many different storylines all wrapped up in Xander Schauffele's win.
That's right. Clutch birdie on the 17th, and then that up and down on the final hole, for that 67 that he shot. And you mentioned Rory Sabatini. Who would have thought he'd be playing for Slovakia? He's South African. Right?
I'm telling
you. His wife is Slovakian, and his wife caddied for him as well. That's a great story.
This is one of those special things. I was so excited to when it came back in Rio in 16, and I think golf is the absolute perfect sport for the Olympics. Don't you, Ann? I mean, that's that global nature of the game, and it's growing across the world. But to see all those flags flying, and it just makes so much sense. And I'm glad it's there, and I know it's going to continue in the Olympics for many years to come.
Well, I'm so glad it's in the Olympics, but what are your thoughts about the format? Because, you know, they play stroke play, but personally I think it would be more fun if it were a team competition, perhaps match play. So if the organizers could come up with criteria to select perhaps the top two players from the countries participating, with alternates, of course, and then you have a team of two players competing for their country, you know, I know golf is, you know, mostly an individual sport, but with a team competition, I think it would just drum up more interest in the Olympic arena. What are your thoughts about the format?
I'm sure they gave that a lot of thought. I think when it comes to team competition, there's nothing that can challenge the Ryder Cup, and I know the President's Cup is behind that, but I have a feeling that all of that was in discussion when they arrived at this format, and I think it's fine. The one thing I would say, Ann, is I think it would be cool if you were able to take the best score of the men from one country and combine it with the best score of the women from a country and get a mixed medal podium as well.
Well, that's a great idea. Yeah.
So
that would be that. I just like the more of the team aspect when you're talking about the Olympics. I've had the opportunity to cover 6 Olympics for the network radio rights holders, and I also really enjoy hearing and seeing the excitement. You know, Paul Casey was so excited to be there. Tommy Fleetwood, Xander was playing for his dad. I mean, these stories are so great. I have to say, there's really nothing quite like being a part of an Olympic Games, whether you're a spectator or whether you have the opportunity to cover the Olympic Games. And of course, you know, without the spectators this time around, they didn't get the complete experience, I don't think. But I loved seeing these guys, particularly the golfers, So excited to be there.
Oh, yeah, and one of the quotes, again, he wasn't the Rory we expected with a medal, but to see McIlroy say that, you know, this isn't just another golf tournament. It's much bigger than that. I didn't realize it until I got here. I think the golfers who had yet to play in an Olympic Games felt something much stronger than they expected when they got there. And I just, again, think it's going to be one of those events in the Olympics that grows dramatically in scale. But I'm telling you, this coming week, we've got Jessica and Nelly Korda and Danielle Kang and Lexi Thompson representing the U.S. And I really want the Olympic Committee and to listen to WFAN and say, here's a great idea. We're going to put the best women's score and put it alongside the best men's score, and we're going to get mixed medals. I would love to see a man and a woman from each country up there on the podium for a medal ceremony. That would be fantastic.
I would love that. That's a great idea, Brian. And, of course, the big news coming out of the Olympics this week is Simone Biles withdrawing. What does this have to do with golf, right? I mean, a lot, because, you know, it's basically – golf is 99% mental, right? And you've been a golf instructor for a long time, and so often, you know, you're thinking about of executing a shot, and your body is out of sorts with your mind. That happens all the time in golf. But in gymnastics,
absolutely,
if you're not 100% mentally, it's really dangerous. So what are your thoughts about Simone Biles?
Well, I want to be honest and let you know my opinions on this story have changed a little bit. But the more I researched it and the more I realized what was happening, the more I understand what Simone did, because she's talking about a condition called the twisties, which golfers are familiar with if they've ever had the yips. It's something that takes over your body and you don't really have control of it. And like you said, Anne, if you're midair and you're doing events like Simone does, having the yips in gymnastics can lead to serious injury. So, I don't think this story came to light properly. She started by saying it was an injury, then it became a mental health issue, and she said she wasn't in the right place mentally. I don't think it's any of that. I think this twisties is the real explanation. And frankly, as a gymnast, that is dangerous. So she made what I feel now is the right decision, absolutely. But I think it was a sensible decision. I think it was safe. I think it was smart. I don't necessarily agree that it was brave or courageous. I'm not sure about that angle, how they're talking about her being the MVP and courageous. It's really just sensible and smart.
Right.
I think if you've lost that orientation in the air, you could see her eyes were all over the place. So I understand, and I certainly feel for her with this, but I fall short of saying it was brave. I think it was smart.
Right. I think, you know, she's 24 now, and maybe if she had the twisties, whatever you want to call it, basically it's when your mind and body are simply not in sync, as she described it in quotes. If she were younger, maybe she would not have had the guts to pull out, and perhaps she could have gotten injured. You know what I'm saying? That's why I think a lot of people are calling it brave, too, because the last thing you want to do after working that hard, training and, you know, just getting to that level again, the last thing you want to do is pull out of the competition. That would be one tough decision. So I think that's why I think a lot of people are calling it brave. It is sensible, certainly. But who wants to pull out of a competition like that?
I know.
Just hard decision, right? I mean,
yeah.
You're
and,
right.
And
if your mind goes blank and you're disoriented and you're doing all these crazy moves, some of the most difficult moves that she invented, by the way, and you don't know where you are up in the air, you know, that could be major tragedy if you land wrong or wipe out. So
absolutely, and I do give her. I do give her credit. It was a mature move, and I talked to my youngest daughter, Christina, who was a diver for Penn State, and Divers have experienced this as well, and you lose control of where you are in space. You forget which way is mm-hmm. up. And, of course, at least with diving, you're landing in water. And for a gymnast to lose your orientation in space, you could land on your neck and have some serious, serious injury. So it was a sensible move, and I wish her all the best. And I think the big story here is her teammates who rose to the occasion and still won the team silver. Another one of the great stories that may have been overshadowed by Simone's decision to pull out, but how about that women's gymnastics
right.
team? I mean, that was
right.
incredible.
Together. Absolutely, after such a major announcement and controversy, really, pulling
yeah.
together and winning that team silver is huge. But, you know, when you get back to mind and body being in sync, as a golf instructor for so many years, Brian, obviously that's so important in our sport of golf. And how does one consistently get your mind and body in sync? That's not easy.
No, it's not. And, you know, we're talking about a specific condition here. In gymnastics, it's known as the twisties, as we've mentioned. In golf, it's the yips. And it's really it's a form of focal dystonia where basically you lose control over some of the smaller muscles in your hands. And the yips most predominantly hit the putting stroke. And, boy, if you've ever had it, you know it's bizarre. It's like an electric shock goes off in your hands. And, you know, it is one of those things that we don't like to talk about because it's a scary thing. You can't overcome it, but in many cases it takes time and it takes a number of different techniques to try before you can find your way through that. And I'm not sure how it's going to affect Simone and her career, but in golf you can overcome it. I think of Bernhard Langer and trying different grips and using a splint style grip to attach the putter grip to his forearm, just anything to get through it. And it worked for Bernhard, and I hope Simone finds something that can get her to the next level in her career.
Is there any technique that you can share if you have the yips, how one gets rid of the yips?
Well, that's one. I mean, trying different grips on the putter. I've had some students who have literally decided to putt left-handed to take the entire motion and change it is something that's
right.
very effective. You almost need to disconnect and try something new. There's
and
also
how about just a new putter. Can you blame the equipment?
Of course, you know, all the best players have some reason, and blaming the equipment is part of it. Yeah, you could get a different look down there. And, but to be honest, there's in many cases different ways to activate pressure. If you squeeze the putter grip really hard right before you take the stroke and then relax it, there's a chance that you can get rid of these yip conditions. And just there's a number of techniques, and you need to go through them with a PGA or an LPGA instructor. And trust me, folks, if you have that, it's scary, but there is a way through it.
I love that advice. Squeezing the putter really hard. I'm going to try that. Anyway, let's talk about the U.S. Senior Women's Open Championship, Brian. It's taking place. So much going on right here in our area, right? Taking place in Connecticut at Brooklawn Country Club. And Annika Sörenstam seems to have picked up where she left off. She's leading the championship.
I mean, how do you do that? How do you take a 13-year hiatus? I mean, I know she came back and played an LPGA Tour event and made the cut and played well, but this is just incredible to see the cream of the crop rising yet again. Of course, she's got some work to do today, but this is exactly what the USGA hoped for. I think having a big star like Annika rise to the top. She's in the lead by two over Liselotte Neumann, and they're playing right down the road. And I mean, WFAN, you can almost hear your voice at Brooklawn Country Club. So kind of exciting to have them right here in our area.
That reminds me, you know, the U.S. Women's AM is at Westchester Country Club coming up, and it reminds me back in the day I'd be up in the tower that they had right on the 18th green, and Ed Ingalls, may he rest in peace, from WCBS Radio, and I, we'd both be up there, and we'd be whispering because, you know, the players were right below us. And it was just, you were right there, as, you know, you guys are a lot in the TV booth. But it's just so exciting to have all these incredible, you know, championships in the New York metropolitan area. And just getting back to Annika for a second, she said this week that what she really likes about being a little older and being away from the game is that she can forget about bad shots quickly. And before, she couldn't. She said she would hold on to the bad thoughts for a while, and she would beat herself up. So I like that attitude, right? And that's what I try to convey to other amateur golfers out there. You have to have fun with it, and you can't remember. You can't be upset when you miss a putt or you hit a poor shot. You just have to have fun and forget the bad shots, right?
Easier said than done, but what I would like to share with your listeners and is a little mantra that has helped me and my kids with golf, and that would be, every bad shot is a chance for a great recovery. If you can grab onto that thought and say, you know what, okay, that one was bad, but man, wait till you see how I overcome this situation that I've put myself in. That's the mindset that you need out there. Obviously, that's the mindset that Annika Sorenstam is so great at, 72 times a winner on the LPGA Tour. Just incredible to see her in the lead. I can't wait to see how that all comes to pass later today. I do want to say a quick note to Cheryl Anderson, good friend here in the Met PGA. Of course, she's down with Mike Bender in Florida right now, but she worked at a number of clubs here in the area. She made the cut, and she's in a tie for 18th right now. She shot a minus 171 yesterday.
For her.
That's right. Lauren's out there. So yeah. It's such a cool story. One of many. You think of Joanne Carner shooting a 79 to beat her age by 3 strokes. She's 82 playing out there. Just exciting.
I can't believe it. There's so much going on. Ron Cyrek's going to join me in a few minutes, too. He's up there, and we'll continue talking about it. But, Brian, there's so much we can talk about. You're such a joy to know, and you're just doing so much great work. And you're also president of our Met Golf Writers Association, and we should plug our national awards dinner coming up in October at Wingfoot, right?
That's right.
You know, continued success, and I'll see you in the neighborhood, I'm sure.
And such a pleasure to talk golf with you, and thanks for all you do for our sport and so many others. It's a great thing you're doing, so thanks for having me on the show.
Have a great day. Thanks so much, Brian Kroll. All right, coming up, longtime golf journalist, author, award winner, Ron Cyrak. He's at Brooklawn Country Club in Fairfield, Connecticut for the U.S. Senior Women's Open. But first, let me tell you that as a brand ambassador for Ivy Cole, I can attest to the high-quality, performance-driven leisure apparel line that is perfect to wear on and off the course. Not only does the moisture sensor fabric keep me cool on the links, Ivy Cool garments also feature UPF 50-plus sun protection. All this plus a wide variety of colorful, stylish silhouettes in tops, shorts, pants, skirts, and dresses, and men can choose from many styles as well. Look your best. Protect your skin. Ivy Cool. Learn more at IBKUL.com.
It's Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. So glad you're joining us this morning. Hope you have a great start to the day so far. And we go up to Brooklawn Country Club in Fairfield, Connecticut, and say hello to longtime golf journalist, author, colleague, and friend, Ron Cyrak. Good morning, Ron. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Ann. And it's great to be back in the New York area. A lot of fun to be back here.
Lots going on in the New York metropolitan area, and gosh, Ron, this is what, your 187th major championship? That's unbelievable.
That just,
you started it when you were 12, right?
That just means I'm an old guy. So, but I've covered a lot of majors, and I'll tell you very quickly, this tournament, the U.S. Senior Women's Open, has become a very special event because it's part sort of class reunion, college reunion, old rivals getting together. But then, boy, on Thursday morning when the bell sounds and they put that tee in the ground and they start keeping score for real, they all get their game face on. It's fun to watch.
It's so much fun to watch. And, well, you're a behind-the-scenes kind of guy. What's the week been like for you? I mean, it's been so special. Talk a little bit about the crowds up there and what's been going on behind the scenes.
Well, for me, I mean, one of the things that's fun for me is that most of these players are players that were on the regular tour when I first started covering golf. So I go back a long way with a lot of these players, and that's fun to be around. But the other thing is they're very, very impressed with this golf course, particularly those players who are from Florida and from Arizona. They find out that one of the things that we do really, really well in the Northeast is hills and trees.
That's right.
And the first thing every player said to me after they played their first practice round is, wow, that's quite a walk out there. And, wow, the contours of the greens are awesome. You can't be past the hole on any green. So it's fun to watch them appreciate these great Northeast golf courses.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're playing a lot of golf in Florida, it's just so flat down there. And then you come up here, and it's so challenging with the slopes, not only on the greens, the contours, but also on the fairways. And you have to get used to hitting, you know, those awkward shots again. But the USGA has to be delighted with the reception that these senior women are getting. I was up there earlier in the week, and there were a lot of people up there.
Yeah, I think they're really, really delighted with the reception and the way both the fans and the players have embraced this event. And they couldn't be happier with the fact that 13 years after she retired, Annika Sörenstam returns to competitive golf, and here she is leading the tournament going into Sunday at sort of the dream scenario that the USGA could have. And it's going to be really interesting to see how she performs today. You know, it was clear to me, I saw her on the range, was talking to her Tuesday, looking at the swing, looking at the distance control from the irons. She's been working really hard to get ready for this. She's been working her butt off to be prepared. But the one thing you can't practice is pressure, the pressure of competition. And she hasn't been in this situation in 13 years. So it'll be fascinating to see how she performs today under that kind of pressure.
You're talking about preparation. So what kind of preparation did Annika put into this U.S. Senior Women's Championship? Was she pretty much practicing at her home club? Was she playing some, you know, competitive tournaments? I mean, you know, Matt, when you get back to competition like that, as you say, it's really a matter of being, you know, mentally tough. You have to, your game has to come back. But how much preparation did she really do?
Yeah, she's been playing a lot of giggle golf lately. Her son, Will, is 10 years old, has really, really gotten into golf, is competing in junior tournaments. So she would play with Will, with her husband, Mike. But this year she decided, she turned 50 last year, so she qualified for this tournament. When she decided she was going to play this tournament, and I've known Annika well enough, she does nothing halfway. So when she decided to play for this tournament, she decided to get ready. So she played an LPGA event earlier this year, first one that she's played since 2008, and she made the cut there, which was a pretty impressive performance considering she hadn't been playing. She played in the celebrity division of the Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions. She played in a celebrity event in Tahoe. So she's played three or four events this year to get that feel of competition when the score really counts, you know, when you're really writing your score down. But again, this is a USGA championship, and that brings with it special pressure. She won the U.S. Women's Open three times, and I know her well enough to know that she would love to add a fourth USGA trophy to that that trophy case at home.
And if she wins this afternoon, Ron, she will earn a spot in next year's U.S. Women's Open at Pine Needles?
Absolutely, yep. And I was there in 1996 when she won the U.S. Women's Open at Pine Needles. She won by six strokes. She hit like 51 of 56 fairways. And at that time, she had won the 95 U.S. Women's Open at the Broadmoor. That was her first victory on the LPGA. Then she won the 96 U.S. Women's Open. And I thought at that time, she's going to win this tournament six times in her career. She went another 10 years before she won the U.S. Women's Open again, and she won 2006 at Newport in Rhode Island. And she had several heartbreaks in there. One, Prairie Dunes, Julie Inkster laid a little 66 on her on Sunday to beat her. At the Orchards, Meg Mallon laid a 65 on her on Sunday to beat her. So the USGA events have always been important to her, and it will be fun to see her back at Pine Needles next year.
Can you imagine if she wins today, and if she then qualifies to win or to play in a U.S. Women's Open? I mean, she'll be obsessed with practicing, don't you think? Knowing Annika, she'll be really – she's so busy doing so many different things, right? But she's really to go and play in a U.S. Women's Open, she'll probably have to spend a lot of time, you know, just to get out there and play, just to satisfy the training regimen that she's probably used to.
She's sort of got this added motivation right now, too, of where her two children are old enough to appreciate what mom does, or, you know, at least used to do. And, so I think she wants to show the kids that how good mom was, you know, and that she can still go out and do it. Yes, there's no question in my mind that if she wins here today and if she qualifies for next year's U.S. Open, we might see her play more LPGA events next year as a way of getting ready. And you have to think that very, very secretly the LPGA is rooting for that, because they would like to have her out there. Look, she's got 72 wins. Kathy Whitworth has 88. Mickey Wright has 82. 72 wins. No one is ever going to come close to that number again. In the modern era,
sure,
you'd have to take Kari Webb's career and Julie Inkster's career together is 72 wins. And those are two Hall of Fame players. Yeah.
72 LPGA Tour titles, 10 major championships. And you mentioned her children, and, you know, they're a bit older now, and they can really enjoy watching their mom, and they flew up to be there this weekend. And there's a little bit of a parallel to Tiger, because Tiger came,
yep,
you know, when he came back from injury and he played again and, you know, winning the Masters so magically, his kids were older and there to watch him. And, you know, you play for your kids so that they can actually see you while they're older and appreciate it, right? So I kind of see that parallel, don't you, with Annika?
Yeah, there absolutely is. And I think in the case of both of them, being a parent in a lot of ways softened both of them in a good way, you know, in both Tiger and Annika. They both interact with the galleries they in a different way than they did before, a more intimate way, because they interact with their kids in that way. So you see them still with that same competitive desire out there, but with a little bit added, that sort of added softness of a parent that wasn't there before.
What is the overall feeling with the players, particularly the older players, who probably feel, and I've heard some of the women say, hey, we should have had a senior championship years ago. Are you hearing any of that from some of these players? A lot of them are so excited and appreciative to have this championship. What is it, in its third year now? But
yeah,
you hear also from some of the older players who are saying, gosh, you know, why did it take so long to have this senior championship?
Well, there was a lot of that early on in the first one, which I was at Chicago Golf Club. You know, even Mike Davis, who was at that time CEO of the USGA, he referred to it as the "It's About Time" Open. You know, and that's absolutely right. And in a way, they missed the window. You know, when they started the Senior Open for men, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Lee Trevino were all still playing. Sam Snead was still playing. So they had a lot of star power out there. And with this tournament, they sort of missed that window where they could have had Nancy Lopez, Patty Sheehan, Pat Bradley, Amy Alcott, that whole generation. Some of those are still playing now, but they're too many years under the belt to really be competitive out here. But what I've seen in the 3 years that they've had this tournament, the fields are getting stronger every year. You know, this year they added Annika Sorenstam, Katrina Matthews, Pat Hurst, Michelle McGann, and every year that's going to happen. More players are going to be coming into the pipeline, and the fields are going to get stronger and stronger. Yes, they would have liked to have this tournament 30 or 40 years ago, but they're really, really happy that they have it now, and they're really happy that the USGA with the way the USGA treats them this week, the tournament is run on a very first-class way. We've been at great, great golf courses. The first three have been played at Chicago Golf Club, Pinehurst, or Pine Needles, and now Brooklawn, and they're going to MCR in Ohio next. And the players love the fact that they're treated like this is a USGA major championship.
Absolutely. Jeff Poplarski is there with the USGA wellness team. And, you know, the women are getting the best in massage therapy and recovery treatment. So they're, it's a really classy championship, and they've pulled out all the highlights, which is great for the women. Let's talk quickly before the show ends about Xander Schauffele. He won the gold medal in Olympic golf. Of course, it happened overnight. But finally, Xander Schauffele with the win, and go USA, right? It's just exciting. It wasn't easy for him. It was very stressful. But what are your thoughts about Xander Schauffele winning the gold medal?
You know, it was funny. I was doing a show early in the year, and we were sort of previewing the upcoming season, and somebody asked me who my favorite was going to be going into the Masters. And I said, I'm picking Xander Schauffele to win every major championship until he wins one, because he's going to win one. You know, it just seems it seemed to me inevitable with him for the last several years. He's been on the leaderboard at majors all the time. And he didn't get a major, but he got a gold medal. And of course, you know, that argument will rage. And as golf moves on and is in more Olympics, it's going to be more of a debate as to how important that gold medal is relative to the major championships. When you look at it, the Olympics only once every 4 years. There are 16 majors played in that time period. So there's 16 major trophies handed out in one gold medal. So it is a big deal. And it was nice to Xander's one of the good guys out there, and it was nice to see him perform so well this week there.
And this would be great for his confidence, too. I mean, obviously, at the Masters, you know, that was just after he birdied 12, 13, 14, 15 at Augusta National. He triple bogeyed the 16th, and boom, he was done. But it's so great to see Xander come back and win his first, title or anything since 2019. So congratulations to Xander Schauffele. Ron, you're always a pleasure to catch up with. Continued success. Have fun up there, and we'll be watching on the Golf Channel. Coverage starts at 2 p.m. this afternoon.
Talk to you down the road, my friend. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much, Ron Cyrak. Talking Golf with Ann LaGoria is brought to you by Ivy Cool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for women and men, performance-driven. Stylish, ultra-soft for all your on- and off-course activities. Visit ibcool.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.